I'd like for you to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'd like to read verses 57 and 58, although our message this evening will be from verse 58. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, or beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We are, in just a little while, going to be voting on our budget. We're going to be taking in new members, and we're going to have our quarterly annual family meeting. It's an important time for our church. The theme that has seemed to be pressing on my mind was the grace of perseverance, or endurance, or patience, or keeping at the work that the Lord has given for us to do, and to stay at it with joy for the Lord. You see, we have a good work that the Lord has given us to do here in this community, for you in your work, and for you in your homes. It's the Lord that's commissioned us, that's commissioned us here, that's charged us to be here. And each of us are members of this body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us to labor here, not in India or in inner city Chicago. The Lord has given us a ministry here. And so here it is that we will serve. But brethren, we do become discouraged, don't we? And we can remain discouraged sometimes in the Lord's working in our own lives, or in our church as time goes by. We need Paul to say to us, don't we, to stir up the gift of God that's within us. I hope that you're feeling the Lord's help tonight to press on for Him. But I'm sure that there are some of you here this evening who may feel cast down a bit or weary in the work that the Lord has given for you to do. Well, whatever your condition, I pray that this word from 1 Corinthians 15:58 will be an encouragement to you. Sometimes things do weigh us down, don't they? And other times particular things can come on us like a shock, and it can make it difficult for us to press on in our private walk with the Lord or even in our church. Sometimes things just don't work out like we had hoped, and it can be quite hard to handle. Furthermore, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that we have an adversary, the devil, who walks about like a roaring lion, and he seeks who he may devour. He scratches, as it were, at us, and he wounds us, and he scars us. And so, in other words, it can be hard to keep our eyes on the reward that awaits us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need the cheering words, don't we, of this passage in the race that is set before us, that we must persevere to the end by the grace of God and finish our race well. So I pray that this message will be an encouragement to you, that it'll be like the sweet smell of these flowers that are here up here on the platform, that whoever gave them to us, it's a beautiful aroma, a sweet freshness. My outline is simply the following this evening in the time that we have. I want to give the background to this passage of Scripture, and then I want to give us three essential perspectives for perseverance, and then maybe make an application. So we've got background, essential perspectives, and application, BTA, if you will. Well, under the heading background, we can take in our verse 58, that phrase, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," to help us get into this text this evening. I think those opening words really do help us to get into the truths about what we're going to look at tonight. The church of Corinth, which is the background we're looking at tonight, was begun by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. If you went to the book of Acts, Acts 18, you'd find that Paul left Athens and he came to Corinth. And he teamed up with Priscilla and Aquila, who were tent makers, as you might remember. And however, he entered into the city with fears and with discouragements. But the Lord came to him in a vision, and he said to him that there would be many people in this city that would be converted, that would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said this, "Don't be afraid, but speak, and don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And you can imagine what this must have meant to the Apostle Paul as he was preaching and as he was teaching, as he was laboring and as he was working with Priscilla and Aquila, making tents during the day and laboring at other times. But as Paul talks about the way he ministered and the way he felt about his ministry as he was preaching among these Corinthians, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that he was with them in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. In fact, he says, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words." As Paul ministered to these Corinthians, it wasn't in the fancy speech, it wasn't in the cleverness of that time, but it was with the Word of God, it was with the truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord proved His Word true, and many were saved, including leaders of the synagogue. And as you think about the powerful work, synagogue leaders were converted and others were converted. It was a mighty thing the Lord was doing. Chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise that were converted in that city." Chapter 6, verse 11 tells us that there were those in that city that were rescued from great evils by the grace of God. That they were living lifestyles so evil, so perverse, and yet the grace of God came to them through the preaching of the Apostle Paul, through the other workers surely with Paul, and they were converted, they were brought to the Lord, they turned away from their sins, and they began to follow Christ Jesus. In other words, what I'm trying to say tonight, it was to those that the Lord wrote these words, that Paul wrote these words, to these people, to these converted people, to these that were rescued out of darkness into God's marvelous light. He tells to them to be steadfast, to be immovable, to always abound in the work of the Lord. But these believers in Corinth are just like us, very imperfect Christians still. And as you go through the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll see that there were many problems and there were many troubles in the church. The church had factions. Some were of Paul and some were of Cephas and some were of Apollos. They could be self-centered toward each other and they entertained even one who was in sin. They ate and drank at the Lord's table and their worship services must have at times been very embarrassing. Yet it's to this group that Paul says to them, "My beloved brethren." Paul thought of them as those that he loved. He thought of them as those that were the sheep of Christ, sheep of the Lord. They were special to him. He had ministered among them for a year and a half. And so he wants them to stay steadfast, to persevere in the things of the Lord. I think that it simply reminds us of how far we still need to go spiritually. And you can only wonder. But more especially here as we come to chapter 15, the context of these verses that I'm about to open up to you are that Paul has been talking about the resurrection of the Lord in the earlier verses. He's been reminding them that Christ Jesus did rise from the dead. In fact, if you'll look back in chapter 15, and verses 3 and following, he says this, he says, "I deliver to you as of first of importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And then Paul goes through those that were eyewitnesses. He says he appeared to Cephas. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some had fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So it's in light of all these powerful and certain realities, especially the resurrection, that Paul tells this church, "Church, be steadfast, be immovable in the work of the Lord." Well, let's take some time now and try to look at these three very important phrases together. And I'm just going to take them as they come along. Be steadfast and immovable. Be a steadfast and an immovable church or Christian. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord as a church, as a Christian. And be remembering that your labor is not in vain as a church, as a Christian. Well, the first part that we want to talk about this evening is be a steadfast, immovable church or a Christian. Now, the idea of this word steadfast is to be one who sits, someone who stays in their seat, someone who's fixed, someone who's permanent, someone who's remaining, someone who's committed, someone who's devoted, someone who is constant. The word immovable, on the other hand, has the idea of not moving away, not shifting in your stand, not compromising one's faith from believing in the resurrection or in the hope of the gospel. You see, Paul and ultimately the Holy Spirit is reminding these believers that they as a church must resist the temptations and pressures of this world and the philosophies and the attacks that are coming against them and all those emotional aspects that go along with it as well. They must remain committed to the faith that they have received. They must remain committed to this doctrine of the resurrection of Christ. They must remain steadfast in the doctrines and teachings that have been given to them by the Lord and by the Apostle Paul. Taking these two things together, they are to continue for Jesus Christ in the ungodly place that they find themselves. And surely, chapter 1 through 15 tell us that there have been many ways that could cause them to be less than that could cause them to be movable and not steadfast. Another way of what I'm trying to say this evening is found in Colossians 1 verse 11. And if you listen to it in the Greek, you can see it in the word order. With all power, being strengthened according to the might, glorious of him unto endurance, patience, and with joy. Think of it this way. For the Corinthians and for us tonight, they are to be committed, devoted, and constant in the teaching that they have received. For them and for us, they are to be committed, devoted, and constant in the faith. They are to be committed and devoted to each other, to the worship of the Lord. They are to use those spiritual gifts that they have given, that they've been given by Jesus Christ. They are to be constant in their service to others, in the local church and towards other churches. They are to be committed and devoted and constant with an eye toward the coming of the Lord, chapter 15. They must be steadfast in the trials and afflictions of their unique day to the city, to the culture, to the time in which they live. And that same call comes to us tonight. There are many challenges that face us individually and for us as a church. But Paul calls us that we must not lose heart. We must say with Joshua, "As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." And the question that comes from this first principle is this: to ask ourselves humbly, what will it take for me to quit being immovable and steadfast? Is there something that would cause you to quit, to be immovable, to not be steadfast in this work of the Lord? The second thing that Paul tells us is to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. After he tells the Corinthians that they're to be steadfast, that they're to be constant, that they're not to be shifting from place to place, he then tells them to abound in this work that the Lord has given for them to do. Now, you might say that at this point in the text, it might have a bit of a more positive shine to it than maybe the immovable or the steadfast, if you will. But this perspective is one that we need to think about this evening. And I'll get real specific. What does always mean here? What does always mean here? What does always mean to us here? Well, I don't think you need a lot of Greek or something with this word always, because it means in every opportunity. It means in every season. It means in every time they are to do the work of the Lord. And so in young age, for you young people, as you're at your school, as you're in your families, as you're with your siblings, as you're with your friends, as you face so many pressures and disappointments, God is calling you to abound in the work of the Lord. That you can abound in the work of the Lord. That in this season, in this time of your life, right where you are, you can serve the Lord. You can do the work of the Lord. You can do your studies for the Lord. You can evangelize for the Lord. You can be abounding in the Lord, always doing it, because it's His work that He's given for each of you to do. There's nobody that's left out. If you're a Christian tonight, He calls you. He says, let's run, let's fight, let's do the work of God. He calls you young people. How about those of us in middle age? I just had the 50th birthday, as dear Pastor Michael continues to remind us. So those of us in middle age, we know who we are now, don't we? Those of us that have had that birthday. We have older kids, right? Maybe we have grandkids, but we can still abound in the work of the Lord. It's not done for us, is it? That just these young people are to be the abounders. This is the abounding section. And then the rest of us, we're just the kind of coasting, hanging in there section. No, the Lord says to us, abound in the work of the Lord. Abound in the things that He's given for you to do. And I don't know if you feel like me, but it seems like there's so many things now that are in our hands, right? Those of you that are middle-aged, you know what I'm saying? Would you not? Right? What are we doing? We're juggling, right? We're juggling. We're juggling schedules. We're talking to people. We're sending emails. We're sending texts. But we need to be in all that, abounding in the Lord, speaking for the Lord, doing for the Lord. And then for those of you who are in the season of old age, when you're feeling weaker, when you don't have as much strength or much energy, and I feel inadequate to even try to address you this evening because you've been so faithful to us. You've stood in the, you've been here, and then you've been in the middle age, and now you're in the older age. And so many of you are just serving the Lord and you're living for the Lord. And I just want to say to you this evening, just keep abounding. Keep praying. Keep doing those things that He's calling you to do. And for a number of you, dear ones, I know what it is. It's your older parents that you're caring for and grandkids and giving wisdom and persevering through health issues. But the Lord would say to you, you're not done quite yet. Abound in the work of the Lord. The call goes out to every one of us, you little boys and girls. I didn't want to leave you out either because the Lord saved me when I was 6 years old. You can abound in the work of the Lord. You can do His work too in your homes as you obey your mom and dad, as you help. In our house, it was emptying the dishwasher for my mom. Not always a popular thing to do, right, guys? Right? So in every age, in every season, in every time, you, dear church, when it's not easy, when it's really hard, when it's a Monday, when it's been a long Sunday, and then for all of us as the church, if you're born again this evening, if you're a member of the church, it's all of us together as a church. And so when it's hard and when it seems like there's not success, you know what we do? We take the gospel net, right? And we cast it back out again, just like Jesus said. Because we're serving the Lord and we're abounding in the work of the Lord. And then I would just say in evangelism, as we share Christ again and again and again, that's one of the neat things about being in small group, prayer group, is I hear about how you all share the gospel with those around you. Just keep sharing the gospel. Keep abounding in that work. Keep throwing it out. Keep getting that seed out. Who knows? But that you may this week get an email just like I did from someone who has questions. I know I've been kind of stumbling into the word abounding, but sorry about that. But that's the second thing in the text. We have always, but then abounding. And Paul uses that word a lot. And that's the idea of just overflowing, the overflowing of our life. Wherever we are and whatever we're doing, we're just overflowing. We're just abounding. We're just taking up that next opportunity to live for the Lord, to serve the Lord, to speak of the Lord, to do for the Lord, to suffer for the Lord. The idea of overflowing. But then notice the third thing Paul says here is that it's a work. And I think some of you, dear ones, really get that word, don't you? It's the idea of toiling. It's the idea of strenuous effort. And that's what's difficult, isn't it, about gospel labor? Think of our dear deacons this evening and all the gospel labor that they've been doing, all the toiling that they've been doing as they've prepared for the budget and as they do other things around this church. But why do they do it? Well, it's the certainty of success because it's for the Lord. We can be abounding because there's so many resources in Jesus Christ. He's the one that we're serving. He's the one that has all resources. All the help that we need is found in Him. Because you see, it really gets to it with that final thing. Always abounding work, but it's of the Lord. Because it's the Lord's work, we can do this. Why can we? Well, it's because of what the Lord did for us to start with. It says in the scriptures, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Why can we abound in the Lord? Because the Lord took all of our sins and he suffered the wrath of God on the cross. And he sits at God's right hand and we deserved hell, but he suffered the wrath that we deserved there. And so now we can serve him. We can do his will and work. We can do evangelism in the Lord. We can pray for new leaders for this church in the Lord. We can discipline our children in the Lord. We can do the hard work in the office tomorrow, but in the Lord. We can work in the church, but it's for the Lord. It's because of the Lord. We have the limited resources tonight, but Jesus, our Lord, does not have any limitation of resources. And so we can serve him. They must always be doing, Paul tells the Corinthians. They don't have the right to let up because of the Lord. Psalm 126 says what? It says, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Paul gives a lot of examples of how he labored in the Lord, especially in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, 6, and 11. And you can take the time to pay attention to those. They're really edifying to read. In other words, they are to abound. That is, they are to overflow in their service for the Lord as they use their spiritual gifts from Christ, their energies, their time, their resources, but not just individually in little islands, if you will, but as a whole, one church striving for the glory of Jesus Christ in a pagan city with many adversaries. The idea here is not that they're just to grin and bear it, if you will, in their service for Christ. Instead, they must abound in that service, knowing that there are wonderful and eternal results because Christ is coming, because Christ has been raised and because Christ is coming. So how are you doing tonight? How are you doing in the abounding? Sometimes we find that we begin to abound only as we take up the task that the Lord has given for us to do. We may not like that task very much, right? You say, I don't really want that assignment. I'd rather have this assignment. But the Lord says, no, this is your assignment. Take it up. Abound in that task. The third thing is that we need to remember knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. And this part may be especially relevant for those of you who are abounding in the work of the Lord in a good sense of the word, busy, active in doing and sharing and discipling. But you may find yourself being a little bit tired or weary in the work. The idea of vain is just what? It's just empty, no effect, no change, no influence, falls on deaf ears. And it can be hard to serve the Lord, can it? It is hard. We've just got to admit that. It can be difficult. The path can be rough. People do go away. Paul speaks of that. In 2 Timothy, he says, Phygellus and Hermogenes have left me. They've turned away from me in Asia. But you know what? We continue to do the work that the Lord has given us because our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So a single young lady who needs attention because of certain addictions, we still minister to her and help her. And we try to reach out and we try to care for her needs. A college student who needs a meal, we still offer them a meal. We still take up whatever that next task is, just trusting that the Lord will use it, that the Lord will bless it. That the Lord will take it. That the Lord will bring fruit. So I'm asking you tonight, how are you doing? If you're pressing on, praise the Lord. And may these words inspire you to move on. But if you're downcast, if you're discouraged, maybe these words will be a cheering and sweet encouragement to you. That He'll renew your strength. That you'll mount up with wings like eagles. That you'll run and not be weary, that you'll walk and not faint. This is what God's house is for. It's to revive us. It's to cheer us. It's to tell us to press on toward the prize. As I close, I was reminded this afternoon, and I think I've got this right, that if you go out here and you see the cornerstone, it says April, what? What? April 24th, 1988. How many years ago was that, dear church? We're our math people. I say it's 31 years, right? Right? Thanks, Daniel. 31 years. Now think about that. Stu did it so well as we prayed together for Thanksgiving. For 31 years, what's been happening here? We've sought to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. There have been ups, right? There have been some downs, right? Some of the dear seats that used to be filled, some of them are where? They're in heaven. Singing the victory, right? But for 31 years, the Lord has been faithful to this church. Never left us, never forsaken us. It's just amazing. And every time you go by that cornerstone, you can thank Him. Some of us were here that day, that time, right? We sang, we worshiped, we heard God's word. I think we sang praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. I think we sang that. Pastor Martin preached. Pastor Hendricks gave the Sunday school. It's the faithfulness of the Lord. So I think we should say tonight, in the words of 2 Corinthians 4:16, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look, not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The Lord is with us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to our church. And we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's all of him that we're able to even stand this day, that we've had any way to be immovable, that we've had any possibility to abound even a little bit in the work of the Lord. Lord, it's been all of your grace. And so we worship you. And we pray that that glorious might of Christ would help each and every one here tonight to endure and to be long-suffering and to do it with joy until you come in the clouds and take us home, or until we die and go to be with you. May we be faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his great name. Amen.